Today on Doomed! The deepfake apocalypse never came, but cheap fakes are everywhere. Today on Doomed, we'll be diving into the world of deepfakes. We heard so much about them in the wake of the 2016 election, as the deluge of misinformation filled the internet. This was supposed to be the future of disinfo and fake news online. However, as we head towards the 2020 election, what are we, just less than 2 weeks away, they're nowhere to be found. And here is why. We'll be breaking it down on the show, and folks, let me put myself up on the screen. Hello, everybody. How are you doing today? It's been not so long since we last saw each other. It's been less than 24 hours, actually, when I was on this program and the live stream last night with David Dole of The Rational National with the post-debate show for the final presidential debate of the year between Trump and Biden. And when I was on that show last night, you might have noticed there was a programming change for this episode. When I was on the show last night and on Majority Report, I mentioned how we'd be talking about the Bolivia elections. And we still will be discussing the Bolivia elections on a future episode. Unfortunately, my guest fell through and we weren't able to make it work for this for tonight. But hopefully we'll have him on again in the near future to talk about the election. And if not, I'll have to, I guess I'll find someone else. No big deal. I hope everything's okay. We will come back to this episode on Bolivia another day. But luckily for all of you, I have a whole list of topics to cover on this show at any given time. And I just so happen to have been researching and a piece I wrote for a few weeks, and it was published earlier. Geez, earlier this week, I think it was. Can't remember. Time just doesn't even matter anymore. And that's what we'll be discussing tonight. So you might have heard of deepfakes. And if you haven't, I will explain it to you very simply. Basically, it is a technology where you can create synthetic media that basically, well, first of all, how you do it is basically you feed images to your computer, and through a deep learning process, an artificial intelligence, AI, your computer basically learns how to superimpose those images on a completely separate piece of media, thus creating that synthetic image. And, you know, if that's confusing to you, the best thing I can do is show you an example. And, you know, you might have seen deepfakes, you might have not, but here is a really good example of a deepfake. Let me bring up... La, 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 la. Here we go. Okay, so this is a deepfake that was created by Control-Shift-Face, a very prominent deepfake creator on YouTube. And this person's done a few of these type of deepfakes, taking a late-night TV show episode and superimposing another actor's face over the guest on that show. And this is a really good one. Let me show you right now.
You've been over, visited me. I know your kids. Is this being passed on?
Yes. Our 2-year-old right now, I'll say, how old are you? And she goes, I'm 4 and a half. Which is her older sister's 4 and a half. And I go, no, you're not 4 and a half. And then she grabs my face and goes, 4 and a half.
That was also kind of a Schwarzenegger a little bit.
Yeah. I'm 4 and a half, father. You got to get out of here. Get out of this, the bomb in there. Get out. Dad, come on.
So for those of you listening to the podcast, you don't see what's going on, but basically, it's an episode of Conan O'Brien, with Bill Hader as a guest, and Bill Hader starts doing a Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, and literally during the impression, a picture-perfect face swap basically goes over Bill Hader to show Arnold Schwarzenegger's face in the video. And it's quite, you know, obviously in this specific instance, it's you're not going to be fooled that it's Schwarzenegger because you see the face swap in action. But it's very convincing. I mean, Schwarzenegger basically, his face becomes, you know, over superimposed over Bill Hader's body. And, you know, those forms of deepfakes are fun and games and everything's great. And that's basically the early days of deepfakes when it all when the technology first started being rolled out and making it to the internet for people to basically be wowed by. But then you guys might remember there was a deepfakes subreddit that came around, I believe it was like in 2018, that basically became popular for being filled with images, deepfakes, taking female celebrities and superimposing their face with the technology into pornographic movies. Those celebrities were none too thrilled about this, and you know, in many forms, that's not too cool to do because it's not consensual. You're basically taking this woman's likeness and putting it in a, you know, a an adult film. And so, after a while, Reddit took those subreddits down. And another reason was actually because there was a worry that, and I think this happened in a few cases, a worry that revenge porn would start to be created via deepfakes for, you know, not basically taking celebrity women and putting their the putting their likeness in adult films for weirdos to watch, but for actual people to make adult movies basically using someone they know's pictures and putting that out there as real pornographic films. And so, you know, those were real worries about deepfakes, and they still are, actually. But then, basically, people, experts in this field thought, you know, if you can create deepfakes as revenge porn and deepfakes to do all sorts of other crazy stuff, then this will become a form of misinformation in politics. And this was a real worry leading up to the 2020 presidential election, especially in light of all the misinformation that spread during 2016. And so much so, actually, that the U.S. Department of Defense had created a number of tools to help itself identify deepfakes, believing that this would be the new form of political misinformation for the 2020 elections. In fact, I believe they were even testing out some of this stuff during the 2018 midterms, thinking that this was going to be a real, you know, a real worry. And I want to stress here that we don't know what's going to happen in the future with deepfakes. Will they become a threat in the future? Will they continue on as just sort of this technology we look at as, whoa, it's really cool, but it never really comes to fruition as a form of, you know, as a form of political disinformation? We don't know yet, but the truth for 2020 lies here. The deepfake apocalypse that we were warned about never came. It just never happened. I spoke to the editor-in-chief of Lead Stories for my piece, and they are an official Facebook fact-checking organization. And his name is Alan Duke, and he told me that basically they've never seen a real deepfake in the wild. And by real deepfake, he meant a deep fake used for the purpose of misinformation, not a deep fake for fun like the Bill Hader, or not a deep fake used to basically just show off what a deep fake can do. In fact, when he's come across deep fakes, it's all that type of deep fake. Hey, look at this technology. I created this cool video to test out. Take a look. Nothing has come up to spread misinformation via deep fake yet. And that's, you know, that's good in a sense. But when I tell you why that's the case, you're not going to think it's so great because it's not like people were too smart for deepfakes. So deepfakes never were used because they wouldn't have, you know, achieved the purpose of spreading misinformation. On the contrary, the reason deepfakes weren't used is because, well, A, deepfakes are still, and I'll get to this too, are still, a technology that's not quite there yet in terms of the cost and the amount of time necessary to create a convincing one. But the real reason, in my estimation, and what I came across in my piece when researching my piece, is that the American public does not need them to be fooled. It doesn't take much to fool the American public. what experts in the field call cheap fakes really got the job done. Now, what is a cheap fake? Cheap fakes are basically synthetic media, or edited media. It could be either or. That's basically created just through simple means, like consumer-level video or photo editing software. You know, your Photoshop, your Windows Movie Maker, your Adobe Premiere, your Final Cut Pro. And I want to stress, like, a lot of this stuff isn't even necessary. You know, you don't even need Final Cut Pro and Adobe Premiere and Photoshop. This is, like, some of this is really, really basic, like paint shop stuff. So what is an example of a cheap fake? Again, I'll show you. But for the podcast listeners, let me explain. Basically, what a cheap fake is do you guys remember watching the first debate between Biden and Trump? And in the aftermath of that debate, there was a viral video going around, zoomed in to Joe Biden's t-shirt, claiming that there was a wire visible on his shirt, and that this was proof that Joe Biden was getting fed information during the debate. Here, let me show you that clip. Let's pull it up on the screen here.
There it is. There it is. North Carolina, Biden's wearing a wire. Why do you need a wire, bro? We've got a mic.
Now, in that case, that clip is literally just a zoomed in image to Biden's shirt. That's all he needed to do. He took the clip, he took the video, and he zoomed in and he showed Biden's shirt up close, which any normal person will realize is a crease in his shirt. He's wearing a button-up shirt. There's a crease in it. All he's got to do in this clip is zoom into it and tweet it out or Facebook it out and say, this is a wire. And there you go. It spread around social media, people believing it's a wire, the cheap fake. Now, cheap fakes are dangerous, obviously, because they're really easy to make. And as opposed to deep fakes, which still takes some skill, let me actually go ahead and tell you, let's get the deep fake part out of the way here. Deep fakes, basically, most deep fakes are created with open source software. Now, I spoke to a prominent deepfake creator who actually made really convincing deepfakes for an organization called Represent Us. Now, they had tried to air these deepfakes during the first presidential debate on TV. These deepfakes are part of a political ad that they created. And the ad even says, this is a deepfake image. This isn't real. The point of the deepfake is just like you do, the point of this deepfake, I should stress, is the same thing that you would see in a, you know, for a CGI scene in a movie. The purpose was to tell a story, not to fool people. Here, let me show you one of those ads that this deepfake creator, John Lee, created for this organization, Represent Us. Let me pull that up on the feed here again. Here's one, the Putin ones.
America. You blame me for interfering with your democracy, but I don't have to. You are doing it to yourselves.
Now, what you're hearing
is stations are closing.
An actor doing a Putin voice and acting in this clip. But the deepfake creator, John Lee, basically used the deepfake technology to superimpose Vladimir Putin's actual face over the actor. And, it looks really good. Obviously, it's not, it's not perfect because the technology is still growing. But, here's another one he did for the same. Kim Jong-un.
It's a fragile thing. More fragile than you want to believe. If the election fails, there is no democracy.
Now, you and I probably wouldn't be fooled by these. And obviously in an ad, you shouldn't be fooled by them because it says in the ad, again, that this is a fake image. But if they did try to portray these as real and just put out the image, it would be convincing to a lot of people. But it's very, very time consuming to create a convincing deepfake that good. It takes sifting through, as John Lee told me, the deepfake creator for these two videos, sifting through thousands of images of, in this case, Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin, taking the best ones and feeding them all to his computer through these open source software programs. And the computer then takes the time to learn basically the best angles and quality of images and the best way to take those and superimpose them onto the actor's face. And also, it takes quite a bit of money. You know, the software is free, but as John Lee told me, he had to, for this project specifically, spend $5,000 on graphics cards, because obviously it's a very computer processing it's a processor intense process. I want to make sure I it's a bit of a tongue twister there, you know. But anyway, so that's basically why we haven't seen deepfakes. Now, if we were all really smart and couldn't be fooled by, dumb zoom-ins on Joe Biden's shirt, then I'm sure people who want to push misinformation would have found some money and time to put these images forward. Obviously, not as many, but those with the capacity to do so, with the resources to do so, they would have done it. But why spend the time and money when you don't need to? Again, a zoom-in on Joe Biden's shirt convinced people that Joe Biden was wearing a wire when it was really a crease. But in my research for this piece, I came across a really amazing story. Like, it's just fascinating to me. So you guys might remember that at the end of September, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the super famous pro wrestler turned even more famous Hollywood actor, did something he never before did. He came out and he endorsed a presidential candidate in like a 9 minute or 10 minute long video. He endorsed the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris Democratic ticket for president. And this really upset some of his fans and supporters, The Rock's fans and supporters. Now, it's been rumored for a while that The Rock was a registered Republican. And, I mean, we don't really know for sure, I don't think, because he never quite, again, endorsed any candidates. But the assumption and the rumors were that he's a registered Republican, but sort of like a right-leaning centrist. Center-right type guy. So this really upset some of his supporters. And when I was reading through these comments, I noticed that a bunch of them were posting the same video in The Rock's comments. And the video was supposedly a clip that portrayed The Rock mocking Hillary Clinton in 2016. Now, I was when I was reading this headline and the description of the clip from the people that were posting it, I was shocked. I had never seen this clip before. As far as I knew, again, The Rock never made an endorsement before the Biden endorsement this year. So I click on the clip, and I'm taken to this video. Let me pull it up on the screen and show you guys. Just give me 1 second while I get to the clip. Here we go. Okay, now I'm pulling it up on the screen.
There's a very special woman that The Rock wanted to sing a very special song to tonight. No, not Cookie Puss.
Now, if you're a wrestling fan,
and I'd like to bring her out here,
you'll know this.
Would you please come out?
That's nice.
Now, before we get to who it cuts to, if you're a wrestling fan, you'll know this as the 2013 segment on WWE Monday Night Raw when The Rock showed up and serenaded the heel, general manager of Raw at the time, heel meaning bad guy in wrestling terminology, Vicky Guerrero, with a cover of Eric Clapton's Wonderful Tonight. And in the segment, The Rock goes on to basically mock and really dig in to Vicky Guerrero. Very not PG, by the way, for a show that tries to be for all ages. But in this clip, Vicky Guerrero, the one that was shared on Rock's page by the Trump supporters, Vicky Guerrero never shows up. Instead, and let me play this right now for you.
Don't be shy. Come on out.
In Vicky's place. I just want to sing a song to you. Instead of cutting to her like it does in the actual segment on Monday Night Raw, this clip cuts to a video of Hillary Clinton.
I'll
let it play
are.
For a little bit longer.
You look so nice.
Now it shows Hillary saying,
thank
you. I got
a very special song I wanted to sing for you. You ran off last time. Last time I was talking to you backstage. Sing a very special song. I want to sing it to
you. But it's very clear that Hillary and The Rock are in two separate locations completely. The clip couldn't be more obviously edited. It's basically just cutting back and forth from two completely separate clips.
One of my favorite artists, Mr. Eric Clapton. Late in the evening, she's wondering what clothes to wear. She puts on her makeup. She brushes her short hair. And then she'll ask me, do I look all right? And I said, no, biatch, you look horrible tonight.
It goes on, and you get the point. But he's singing this to in 2013, the actual segment that aired on national television. He's singing this song to another pro wrestling talent, Vicky Guerrero. And, you know, it's a storyline, and it's, you know, like soap operas or whatever. It's scripted. And in this clip, though, it just constantly cuts back to Hillary Clinton, and she couldn't be more obviously not there in the arena. I mean, it's just a clip of her at a podium at some sort of rally or event speaking to a crowd, and there's American flags behind her. And I mean, it's just the fakest thing you've ever seen. Like, it's just a stupid video. And I spoke to the guy who made it, this guy named Jason, and he said to me that, you know, he's just basically at the time in 2016 deciding to make some stupid, silly videos. And this is one of the clips one of the ideas he had, and he put the clip together really, really easy. And he said he was excited when the clip got something like 15,000 views. It was by far at that point his most viral, funny little silly clip he made about the election. Today it has over 3 million views, and that's just on his own edited version. His clip has since been ripped off of YouTube and uploaded and re-uploaded numerous times elsewhere, like Facebook. And in fact, one Facebook clip version of his clip that I found of this Rock serenading Hillary Clinton video is on a pro-Trump page with more than 11 million views. So that version of this clip has even more views than the original version of it that the guy who made uploaded. It's just incredible. And so people, Trump supporters on The Rock's page thought this video was real. Like, I can't, like, it really is a conundrum here when the fake wrestling program is the real video, and the clip superimposing, not even superimposing, I can't even use it, the clip cutting back and forth from a separate Hillary Clinton video to the fake pro wrestling video is the fake one, if you're following what I'm saying. It's a little bit confusing, isn't it? Anyway, So that clip convinced Trump supporters that The Rock literally for real in 2016 went out to a arena in front of tens of thousands of people. Hillary Clinton joined him, even though they're never shown in the same shot. And in front of tens of thousands of people, live to her face, The Rock sang a song to her, mocking her. I don't know what to say to that. I'm honestly speechless. I could not believe what I came across when I was researching this for this piece. It's truly, truly amazing. And here, let me read some of the comments that I found. They're even more fascinating. Buddy, you have just lost me. Now you are just the pebble. Read one comment. Another one reads, The Rock is a sellout. Here's another one. And now Dwayne Johnson and Biden are best buds. I wonder if Dwayne Johnson even remembers doing this, talking about the clip of him singing the song to Hillary. I wonder if The Rock remembers doing that thing he never did. Unbelievable. Another one. Now, why is he backing Biden and Kamala? Has he got another comedy song prepared for them? And there were like numerous comments basically saying like, how can you, you know, stab us in the back after this video in 2016 of you doing this to Hillary? How can you possibly go from Hillary to Biden? I don't know what else to say about this. It's incredible. It's incredible. And this is the type of stuff that is going out there and people are believing. And, you know, again, going back to my conversation with the editor-in-chief of Lead Stories, one of the organizations who is an official Facebook fact checker, he told me that from his experience coming across this stuff, the most dangerous form of misinformation right now is the meme, he said. Just really basic, dumb stuff. Images that are edited, or sometimes even images that aren't edited, with the text on the top, text on the bottom, image in the middle, and the text usually pushes some sort of completely unsourced, unfounded, untrue misinformation. But in meme form, it spreads like wildfire and gets shared, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of times on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, email chains. And some examples he gave me of these sorts of memes and cheap fakes are, there's a Photoshopped image going around of Michelle Obama that basically uses the warp tool to sort of shorten her hair and change her facial features just a little bit to portray her as a man. And this meme actually, again, because this isn't just the image, it's the text that comes with it that pushes a completely unsourced, unfound claim. The meme text that goes with it literally claims that when Barack Obama met Michelle Obama, she actually was a man. Michelle Obama used to be a man, according to this conservative meme. And looking at some of this stuff on there, I looked around to try to find some of this. I found numerous corners of Facebook, in Facebook groups, on popular Facebook conservative personalities pushing this meme, with people in the comments replying to the people who post the meme actually believing this stuff. Right, they call her Michael Obama, Zoe in the YouTube chat says Michael ? Yes, they literally call her Michael. It's stunning. It really is stunning. And another one that you guys probably saw, another example of one of these cheap fakes that went viral, is the clip that was slowed down of Nancy Pelosi to portray her as a drunk. You know, this clip was shared around of basically Nancy Pelosi slowed down. And it was shared by conservatives in the right wing with the claim that, oh, look, she showed up one day slurring her speech because she was intoxicated. By the way, who else shared this clip? President Donald Trump. Here, let me show you. And let me, he tweeted, Pelosi stammers through news conference. And here is that clip.
We had a little took a little longer on the floor. The custody of the border, Everyone, he started making, sending signals, the U.S., Mexico, Canada. If that's not the accurate category, some people call it AFTA, NAFTA, some call it NAFTA 2.0, working together to pass that. There are three things. We're very busy people.
Now, that clip was slowed down. That wasn't actually how she was speaking. Late night comedy shows actually do this to create funny videos. I think who has done this? I think what's his face? Jimmy Kimmel has done the same thing, but again for a comedy sketch, and very clearly labeled as such. It not portrayed as real misinformation. Misinformation portrayed as real news. I meant to say. So, this is the kind of stuff that's needed, really. It's all you need. It doesn't take much to fool people. Before I forget this, another person I spoke to for this piece, Vic Berger. Now, you all know Vic Berger. He is a hilarious comedy editor and comedian in his own right, who, you know, rose to prominence during the 2016 primaries, basically cutting together really funny videos of the Republican primary. And he never spreads misinformation in his videos. It's very clearly comedy videos. I mean, he's got the DJ air horn. This one, I believe it is. Hold on one second. Let me pull it up. He's got the air horn playing in the background whenever something silly happens. And, I mean, no one believes that actually happened at these things. In fact, when I spoke to him, he said, for the most part, most comments he received on his videos were from people who clearly knew that this was an edited creation by him and that they thought it was funny. And, I mean, that also speaks to his talent as a comedy editor. He's able to make it really funny and convincing, yet quite clear that it's for comedic purposes. However, and this was really interesting to me and funny too, he, for certain videos, he received shit from conservatives and right wingers who thought his videos were spreading misinformation. Do you believe that? The right wing was worried that someone else was spreading misinformation about their boy Donald Trump. So that was really interesting. And, you know, he said he keeps in mind this sort of stuff, and when he makes his videos, he always makes sure nothing's taken out of context and he's not putting words in anyone's mouth. And again, I don't think he ever made anything that could be construed as misinformation to anyone who has any sort of self-awareness or intelligence, or I don't even know, just basic knowledge, common sense, I guess. But apparently it has. And, that's all. That's all that's needed nowadays. This is one part. This is what I was looking for because I don't want to forget this part of the story. So I spoke to a founder of a firm that provides deep fake and misinformation monitoring to brands online. And one of their specialties is tracking deep fakes and cheap fakes. And they provided me, the company's name is CreoPoint, and they provided me access to their database backend that basically has a slew of links to all of these cheap fakes and deep fakes that they've tracked and found online. And what these cheap fakes and what's clear when looking through this database of cheap fakes and deep fakes is everything that I heard from the fact checkers and the experts and everything you heard from me here tonight on this episode is true. Every instance of a deepfake I found on this database was basically someone showing off what they could do with this technology. It wasn't being used for actual misinformation, or it was an ad basically utilizing the technology to create something that, I guess, you know, movie studios would have used CGI for, to tell a story and evoke emotion. None of it was used for misinformation, actual misinformation. However, multiple instances, I must have counted, hundreds maybe, of different cheap fakes instances actually pushing misinformation about the political landscape, you know, campaigns, races, the presidential election, obviously. 120 million views and counting in the past year have gone to cheap fakes and deep fakes. Only the politically targeted cheap fakes and deep fakes. And of that, 60% of all cheap fakes have been targeting politics. Previously, like I mentioned, there's deep fakes for, you know, targeting entertainment, entertainers, like the subreddit that created the deep fakes putting famous Hollywood celebrities in pornographic films. Then there are a few instances, it was something like 10%. Of deep fakes and cheap fakes target actual business CEOs and leaders. I'm sure, I think there was one that was like a Jeff Bezos one I came across. But 60% of all this is targeting politics, and 120 million views and counting is going to it. So keep aware, deep fakes are out there. And who knows, maybe one day they'll get to the point where they're being used to spread misinformation. But for now, you can whip out the old Windows Movie Maker or Paint Shop, throw together some low-level, cheap edit. I mean, seriously, you could just zoom into someone's shirt, or in the case of the Rock video, just friggin' cut two clips that make it, they don't even try to look like they're in the same location together, splice them up, put them in the same clip, and you could fool a shit ton of people into believing whatever you want. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to the second half of the show in a second. First of all, patreon.com/Matt Binder to support this show. With the patron, it happened again last week, actually. I made the call for patrons. A bunch of them joined, and then a few days later, unfortunately, a bunch of people had to unsubscribe from the Patreon page because, financial difficulties, people are struggling now. So, you know, we take 10 steps forward and then move like, not exactly 10 steps back, but we move like 8 steps back. So if you could become a Patreon subscriber and help grow this show, patreon.com/Matt Binder. My goal is to really build out this program so I can do more content, have on more great guests, and be able to spend more time doing these videos. More time means I could do separate segments. If a guest bails on me, like what happened tonight, I could possibly have something else in the back burner ready to go to give you guys a show. I could have had some pre-tapes maybe if I had the time and and ability to prepare for situations like this. But I think it went good. I think we did it was an interesting topic. I mean, I got lucky that I cover a lot of this stuff normally every day. Also, I didn't want to talk about it yet because it just came out a few hours ago. I just published a piece for Mashable looking into the claims from Epic Domains. Now, Epic Domains is the domain registrar that is a safe haven for many far right wing websites. They host the Gab domain that makes the Gab white nationalist friendly social network run. They are the current domain registrar for the official ProudBoys.com domain. You guys might have heard about this domain earlier this week because that was the domain, officialproudboys.com, that was used in those emails that made news, which were sent to various Democratic voters threatening them if they didn't vote for Trump. Imagine waking up in the morning, checking your inbox and getting an email from officialproudboys.com, opening it up and seeing them say that we have your voter file information, which includes your personal and contact information. If you do not vote for President Donald Trump, you'll face the consequences, pretty much. Imagine that. I mean, that's, yeah, it'd be worrisome, you know, to say the least. So they also used to host 8chan, Epic Domains. The 8chan domain also provided other web hosting services for 8chan. So Epic Domains basically put out a series of open letters to PayPal complaining about anti-conservative bias and deplatforming because PayPal terminated Epic Domains' account with them. So basically, people who purchase domains through Epic can no longer use PayPal because of this occurrence, this termination. Now, PayPal told me that there were risk factors involved. They have, you know, a risk assessment department in their organization, and they assess the risk with Epic. They told me nothing to do with, you know, that's what it was. Business, a risk assessment based on the business, not any political ideology. But Epic was portraying this as a deplatforming anti-conservative thing. And in this crazy series of open letters, they basically blame the Democratic Party, the DNC. They blame Chris Evans, a.k.a. Captain America, and Mark Ruffalo, a.k.a. the Hulk in the Marvel The Adventures movies. They blame Hunter. They bring up Hunter Biden. It's really, again, this is an actual company. They're an ICANN-accredited domain registrar. They're the 21st largest domain registrar in the U.S. They service, according to them, hundreds of thousands of customers. And I was able to look up, they currently have more than 600,000 domains registered under them, which means not 600,000 customers, but 600,000 domains have been purchased by customers from them. And so they, weird letter, but I spoke to a source that was close to the situation. And my source told me that the real reason that Epic ran into trouble with PayPal was because Epic has a product called Masterbucks. It's basically Epic's own digital currency. But Epic apparently didn't go through any of the legalities, didn't sign any of the documents, didn't get any of the licensing needed from the government to have their own digital currency. And basically, they were openly flaunting and boasting on their website that you can use Masterbucks for, I want to use the exact phrasing here that they used. Give me one second. They were saying that you can use Masterbucks for tax advantages. Basically, according to my source, there were... The Masterbucks program was basically being used by some, or allegedly being used by some, to... For money laundering and tax evasion purposes, frankly. As bluntly as I can put it. So... Check that out. I tweeted out at Matt Binder. You can follow me really anywhere on Twitter, on Instagram, at Matt Binder. YouTube.com/Matt Binder for the YouTube channel. Subscribe. That's free to subscribe to. DoomedPod.com for the podcast version of this show. And again, Patreon.com/Matt Binder if you can subscribe to the Patreon page and financially support the show and help it grow. Otherwise, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the Super Chats in the second half of the show that we're going to cut into now. And I'm going to read your questions and comments via Super Chat. Also, I'm going to open the phone lines. You can call into the show at via Skype. Just log into Skype with your username, your Skype name, and search for the handle Doomed Live. DOOMEDLIVE. One word, Doomed Live. And then it'll show up, and you can just call in. I'll take your call. We will go to that second half for members only now, unless you're watching the live stream. You get a freebie for now. But if you want the audio version of it, you got to subscribe to the Patreon page. So let's go, patrons. Come join me. Everyone else, see you all next time on Doomed.